Verse 34 says, who is he who condemns you? It is Christ who died. You see that? Who is he who condemns you? It's Christ who died. It doesn't say, who is he who condemns you? Did you do something wrong, right? It leaves your actions completely out of it. It's, who is it who condemns you? It's Christ who died, right? It skips over your actions. It skips over what you did. It skips over what you could ever do. It skips over your present sin, your past sin, your future sin, and it says, it is Christ who died, right? It is the death of Jesus that presents you as holy. It is the death of Jesus that presents you without a single fault in the sight of God. It is the cross. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, right? It is that high priest. It is that finished work, right? Whom Jesus is a constant representation of in heaven, that is what will today and forever, right, hold us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. We should always perpetually feel holy. Always feel blameless, always feel above reproach, above accusability, right? Now that doesn't mean that every single thing that we do is right, right? But you know, so what are you to do if you do something where, you know, where you hurt someone, where you say something that you should not say, where you act in a way that is unbecoming a child of God, where it's just beneath you to act a certain way, right? Where you're speaking from the flesh instead of speaking according to the spirit that you're of, right? Well, what is it that you are to do, right? We're to go right back to acknowledging the one who is the reason why we're blameless, acknowledging the one who is the reason for our unaccusability, acknowledging the one who is the reason for our holiness, right? In other words, why would you have to feel condemned if you've already been judged? How were you judged? Your sin was judged in the body of Jesus Christ, right? Why would you have to feel bad about something that you have done? Why would you have to feel bad or guilty about sin when your sin has already been judged, right? That's a better way to say it, right? It's just, you know, I just think about, you know, how good is this news? And how many places can you turn to today and hear the truth, to somebody to tell you that you are holy, that never changes, that you are blameless and that never changes, that you are unaccusable, that there is never a time in your life since the day that you were born again that God would ever look at you and accuse you. And even before you were ever saved, God is not imputing the sins of the world against them, right? The only thing that stands against an unbeliever is their unbelief. In other words, the only thing that keeps a person from the holiness and the blamelessness and the righteousness, right? The only thing that keeps a person unrighteous is their unbelief. Right? Every person who believes and puts faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is a righteous individual, right? Is made righteous by God. So there is so much that, this good news that you hear, it's like, you know, this should be something that you hear and you say, you know what, that makes so much sense. You know, I'm not saying that I've never felt guilt. I'm not saying that I've never felt, you know, condemned after being a Christian, but it makes so much sense now why I don't have to feel condemned. It makes so much sense now why I don't have to feel guilty, right? Because it's that he was condemned so I wouldn't have to be condemned. He was found guilty so that I could not be found guilty, right? He was punished for my sin so I would not have to be punished. He died so that I would not have to die for my sin. The death that he died for all, so therefore all died, right? There is no death that I have to die. He has removed from me the reproach of Israel, the reproach, in other words, of the church, has been removed. Why would we ever preach a message that would bring reproach or guilt upon people? And I get it, right? Pastors see bad behavior in congregations. Pastors see bad behavior, you know, in the lives of Christians across the world, and they want to say something that will make people be remorseful about what they've done. So supposedly they would repent and then turn from their bad behavior to good behavior, right? But there was never a time where God asked you to turn from bad behavior to good behavior. The Lord only ever asks you to turn from being anti-Christ in your thinking to being conscious of Christ in your thinking, right? The repentance that God wants us to have is a repentance of the mind. We who were enemies in our mind before, the Lord is asking us today to be those that are acquainted with the finished work of Jesus Christ and no longer anti-Christ in our thinking, right? But preaching a message and telling people, making people feel bad, quote unquote, right? In other words, to reproach the church, to reproach the church today when the exact thing that God has done through Jesus Christ is to remove the reproach of the church. Why would we ever think, right, that the job of a pastor or a shepherd would be, right, to bring reproach to the church of God, right? We are people, every single person within the church, every single person in the body of Christ today is holy and blameless and above reproach and should be spoken to as an individual that is that way, right? In other words, should be respected. The holiness of the church should be respected. The blamelessness of the church should be respected. The fact that we aren't accusable should be respected, and people, Christians should be spoken to as people that are holy and are above reproach and are blameless. And how do you do that? How do you speak to people that are that way? How do you speak to them so they can continue to grow and profit, right, in this life? How? By reminding them of why they are holy, by reminding them of why they are blameless, by reminding them of why they are above reproach. And people that have their mind renewed to why they are holy and blameless and above reproach, what happens is their minds then are continually renewed, right? And the works of the flesh are put to death, and they begin to be people that actually walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. But if you bring reproach to the church by constantly trying to bring guilt and condemnation among people, all that does is leave them more and more in their mind walking in the flesh, because what they're thinking of is not Jesus and what he's done, but what they're thinking about is how bad they need to feel about what they've done. That does not bring about a righteous mentality, right? That does not bring about a righteous mentality that is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, right? The holiness and the blamelessness and the unaccusability of the church should be respected because we respect Jesus, right? In other words, the gospel should be respected because we respect Jesus, right? And we need to preach as people, as shepherds, that respect the finished work of Jesus Christ. So therefore, the farthest thing from your mind would be to accuse the people of God, right? To accuse them of anything. How can you accuse someone who's blameless? How can you accuse someone who is unaccusable, right? How can you accuse someone who is unaccusable, right? And granted, you could look at someone and say, well, you don't look unaccusable, you don't act unaccusable, but that is beside the point, completely beside the point. It's completely beside the point because the point is Jesus, right? It's completely beside the point because the point is what Jesus has done, right?
If we were able to show you something about Jesus today, subscribe and share this with someone else so that we can get this awesome truth out to the world.